It's time for our regular checkup with pharmacist Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow. Hello, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello, Toby. I'm very well, thank you.
Now that it looks like we have a roadmap in place for the lifting of COVID restrictions and lockdowns, there seems to be a lot of talk going around about COVID vaccination passports. Elizabeth, what are your thoughts about the introduction of vaccination passports?
Well, Toby, there are, of course, lots of issues to think about, and that's why I understand there is an ongoing review by governments. But what I was wondering about was international travel. I mean, if you take pilgrimage to Mecca Hajj, obviously not during the pandemic, then it's mandatory to show a certificate for the meningococcal vaccine ACWY, that's for meningitis. It must have a date at least 10 days after the vaccination, and most cases within 5 years, depending on the type of vaccine used. Health professionals, pharmacists can issue these certificates at the time of the vaccination, and care must be taken to the spelling of the name of the patient and all details are correct. I say that because sometimes the name on someone's passport is not the same as how they're known. Now, another vaccine certificate that is mandatory presently is the yellow fever one. Yellow fever, it's a disease transmitted by infected mosquitoes. And there are large areas in, for example, Africa, South America, where it's mandatory to have the certificate. I realise that these two examples represent a tiny percentage of travellers. But what if, for example, Spain decides to ask you for proof of vaccination? What I'm saying is the decision might not be entirely the UK's.
We also hear a lot about anti-vaxxers and people who can't seem to get their vaccinations. Is this correct?
Someone asked me about trials that are continuing with vaccines, and she wondered if she could have got a placebo. Now, the answer to that is definitely no. If you're put into a randomised controlled trial, and that's where a placebo is matched against the drug, then a long, complicated process of patient consent takes place with the understanding you may not get the actual vaccine. But no one in the trial knows what they're getting, but because of strict ethical reasons, you would be absolutely aware that you're taking part in the trial. And your consent will have been sought in writing. Now, Pfizer, for example, is following up the original participants in the trials to check for, obviously, any long-term side effects and also how long the protection works. I mean, that's really important as we go forward. Of course, there are contraindications to getting the vaccine. For example, if you've got a high temperature on the day you should be getting the vaccine, then there would be a postponement, obviously. Maybe get yourself a test. Pregnancy, those who have severe allergies to vaccinations, if it would be, I think, unethical to expect activities for these people to be curtailed. I feel these questions are for politicians and government, rather than health professionals. Our job, I think, is to reassure people about the safety of the vaccinations and just to make sure that they understand the ramifications of maybe not taking it. But I don't think that's our job to really think about passports.
Elizabeth, there was a big push last autumn for people to get their flu jabs. And is it correct that there has been a lot less flu going around this year?
Yes, Toby, you're quite correct. I mean, one of the reasons, as you say, it's a higher uptake in the vaccines, but also the restrictions are having one benefit at least, and that's a reduction in respiratory tract infections. Generally, I think parents, grandparents, those who will know about sending school children back to school, when that resumes, they'll naturally spread viral infections. Now, these children are known as super spreaders. And of course, adults in the past might have coughed or sneezed without covering their mouths. And of course, there's generally no hugging and kissing when meeting up with friends. Even the handshake has been replaced with an elbow bump. It'll be interesting to see what happens when restrictions are eased. In other words, if we're not wearing masks and we're starting to mix normally with people. One of the things I was thinking about was in 2020, there was a huge uptake in flu vaccination. And I'm just wondering in 2021 whether that's going to be the same. Are people, because of COVID vaccination, they're more aware of taking vaccinations? I think in the future, they are talking about perhaps combining the two. So you would get a COVID oblique flu vaccination at the same time, which seems quite sensible. But for this year, it would be interesting to know what people think about that.
I think you're right. I think it'd be great if we could combine the flu and the COVID vaccination. That would save a lot of hassle for people. As always, some very useful information and advice. Elizabeth, if people would like to get in touch and maybe ask for some advice, where can they find you?
All the W's, newlifepharmacy.co.uk.
Thank you, Elizabeth Roddick from New Life Pharmacy in Glasgow, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Toby.